Welcome to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show. I'm Maggie Mertens, and this is a March Madness bracket bonus show. Today, I'm so excited to have a roundtable of Seattle basketball nerds and experts here. I'm going to introduce all of us. Angela Garbus is joining us. She is a national best-selling author of the books Essential Labor and Like a Mother. She lives with her family on Beacon Hill, and she has not only appeared on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah and Fresh Air with Terry Gross, but she is a huge basketball fan, and we are so excited to have her here. Welcome, Angela.
Thanks, Maggie. Thank you for having me.
Next, we have Jen Barnes. Jen is the absolutely brilliant mind behind Rough and Tumble Pub, Seattle's first women's sports bar, up in Ballard with a second location now here in Columbia City. Jen is also a lifelong athlete and co-founder and owner of Salmon Bay FC, Seattle's first pre-professional women's soccer team. Thanks for being here, Jen.
Thank you so much for having me.
And lastly, we have Kristen Tollefson. Kristen is a local educator who is also a huge college basketball fan. She covers the University of Washington Huskies for the UW Dog Pound on SB Nation. She happens to be the partner to our very own producer, Jeff Shaw, as well. Thank you so much for being here, Kristen. Amazing. Well, we are here to talk March Madness. I think I love March Madness because it gives everyone the opportunity to, you know, skip their own work and become professional college basketball fans for a few weeks, which we all deserve. And so I do want to talk about, you know, who we have going on in our brackets this week. Also talk about our local teams, the Huskies, who are, you know, a sixth seed here. Do we want to start with maybe our top picks? Does anybody want to talk about who they think will actually win this tournament? Dun, dun, dun. I do think there's four very good number one seeds. And I don't see like a huge upset in the works. Does anybody think it might not be one of the number one seeds?
Probably not, but I do love an upset. I mean, that's the thing about March Madness is it's literal madness. I mean, things happen.
Especially for you.
Yeah, like, yes, that's very true. But things happen in the bracket that, nobody ever gets a perfect bracket, right? I mean, it's nearly impossible to do. And that's really saying something given how many people play this. And so, you know, I think the upset stories and the Cinderella stories are genuinely the best part of the whole thing. I did some deep diving to see if there was any possible way that South Carolina and UCLA could play together. And there is like one possible way they could. I think that'd be an amazing matchup. You know, unlikely, but yes. Possible. And that's the thing. Like, that's the thing that I think is so joyous about it is just the possibility is legitimate.
Yeah. And you have such a wide range of, you know, who these teams are and what they're coming in. And it's only one game, right? Anything can happen in one game.
Yeah.
Okay. Out of the number one picks, who do you guys have?
I think it's probably the competition is between the four number one picks. I'm partial to UCLA. I think they maintained a lot of their players. So they have a veteran team. Love Hawkes so much. I think that probably any of their starting five could go to the WNBA. And then they have, Ledger Watson, who's the sixth woman, and she's also very good. She was over here at WSU for a bit. So I'm partial to UCLA, although I do think UConn has a good team as well.
Yeah, UConn's pretty good. Undefeated.
Pretty good. They have
Abby Pudsey.
I love her.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love her.
Yeah. I feel a little bit to pick up on what Jen was saying. I was looking through it, and I'm not a college basketball expert, but I like to, you know, become a crash course one, and I love to spend time deep diving in March Madness. That's the other thing that I love about it, because it makes it possible for, it's just an opportunity for literally anyone who to engage with this stuff who maybe doesn't even pay that much attention to sports at all. It's a really fun social thing. And I think like being able to pull people in is what's exciting. But also when I look at this, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure the number ones are going to most likely make it all the way. And in that sense, it's, I don't want to say it's disappointing, but there's like, I was like going through and being like, can I, I'm like focusing on eights and nines. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are the upsets, right? Like that I can pick and where are these things? Like, but it's very hard for me to imagine UConn not winning. I also won my pool last year by picking UConn, and it was to me very old people page. And so as an old, I was like, it versus Juju, you know, the young, and I was feeling sad that Juju's, you know, out this year. She'll obviously be back. Yeah. I mean, but with UConn, it's like, they've had the same coach. There's like incredible coaching, but also like, I hate voting for like long-standing institutions, but Sarah Strong is like, so dominant, and she was in that final.
She's so great.
That final game really last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. With a heavy heart.
Yeah, there's.
Yeah.
I think UConn, the number one overall seed.
Yeah. They don't have Paige anymore, and they're somehow even better.
I know. They're just like, they're dominant.
It's kind of wild. Although I will say, I kind of have a fondness for Texas. I feel like that team is like a little bit out of the blue, you know, they've been building just sort of like quietly over in Texas and then nobody
and
else
they did they're
outside
South
of
Carolina.
That kind of long term
they beat
UCLA in November, so
that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
and it feels they're a team built on defense, which is really fun, right? Like it's fun to watch, you know, when it's a barn burner and people are shooting, but you know, when people are guarding in like full court, I love that.
The chess match?
Yeah. When it's just like, yeah, where they don't, nothing comes easy. That's like, that takes so much energy. And so I'm always just like really amazed and impressed when teams lead that way, the way Texas.
So then should we just talk about South Carolina?
Chris.
Yeah.
That's who I have.
I feel like that's who I'm going through.
Nobody else really does, but I am a like very, very significant Dawn Staley fan. And so, you know, I think it's been really interesting to watch the team this year. You know, they are routinely one of the hardest teams for any other team to figure out how to play. And I think that is fantastic. You know, they have a really good history with UConn. I think that's interesting. I think UConn's actually up against some tougher teams than people are giving them credit for. You know, they have an undefeated season, but when you go into March Madness, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It can, but it doesn't mean everything, I guess is the better way to put it. So I have South Carolina going all the way. We'll see what happens.
All right.
I agree with Jed.
Chip on the shoulder too. Like,
yeah.
They come through the tournament because they're like, nobody believes in us.
And I feel like when they lose, as they did in the SEC championship right to Texas, then I feel like that just gives them fuel and it gives Dawn Staley fuel. And I agree with Jen in that in general in life, I hesitate to ever bet against Dawn Staley.
Yeah,
against Dawn Staley. I know. I'm with you.
It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
I know. And she's, you guys are right. I think she does better coming in as the underdog, right? She's gonna use that. Whereas like UConn, I think it's hard to be undefeated and going in, and like that's a lot of pressure on college age players. Like, I don't know. And then you lose one game in March Madness, you're out. Like it's like the highest pressure.
There's no redos.
Yeah. That's amazing. Kristen, tell us, could the University of Washington be a Cinderella story this year? What's going on their team?
Good question. I don't know that they could be a Cinderella story. They definitely don't have the like personnel that any of these four number one seeds that we're talking about. They're not like at that level, but they did play UCLA in the Big Ten tournament, and the first half they, I haven't gone back to like watch game tape or anything, but they messed with UCLA so bad. They were up by 20. And Corey Close is a really, really good coach. We maybe left that out of this past conversation, but she's an Olympic coach, or she was. But they made some adjustment, and then there was a 40-point swing, and UW lost. So I don't think that they have the stamina.
40-point swing.
I know. They were up by 20, and then lost by 18.
Yeah.
The adjustments that were made by Corey Close were better than by Tina Laney. But I think they could maybe make it to the Sweet 16. I think they could for sure win this one.
Yep.
And I think they might be able to sneak it out versus TCU, although that's a pretty good team too. But they also have really good defense, and they added a couple players this year that help with the offense. And so they're playing pretty well together right now, and we're playing pretty well together in the Big Ten tournament. So I think they could maybe make it to the Sweet 16. I don't think they make it past that. And I think I agree
with you. Pretty much agree with you. The thing about the UW is, and I've watched this shift as the season went on. I want them to believe them in themselves the second half. Yes. That's really what I see happen, is it's like they have this correct from a data perspective, but incorrect because it's a new team every year and it's different chemistry makeup. And right, like, they're doing something that team hasn't done in a very long time. They've got it. They can do it. They just have to believe in themselves. And you see that start to fall off in the second half. And so I think if they can really work on sports psychology, I'm not kidding, right?
No, like, I think it's right. I'm laughing. Yeah, it's true.
They can do it. They just need, just need the sports psychology for the second half. I think they could do great. I'm kind of excited about, I'm pretty stoked. It was really neat to see Gonzaga men and women go in. And it's funny because I started getting in, like, very interested in men's March Madness, you know, back when Gonzaga did have their very first like big Cinderella story. It was kind of what got me excited about college basketball back in the day. And it's so funny, every time they go in, I'm like, oh my God, it's incredible. You know, like, which is not realistic anymore because they go every time. But I do love the brother-sister story here that I think is really sweet. And it's kind of, it's going to be fun to watch the two go through the tournament together. So it'll be, and you know, Spokane is an incredible sports city. So Zag fans are fanatics. Yeah. I hope they have all that behind them.
Yes.
And to your point about UW, they don't have a chip on their shoulder like South Carolina, and they need the chip on their shoulder.
Need a little fire. I think Jeff and I have talked multiple times this season about just the frustration of watching UW. You know, they're like, there is talent and they can like go in and beat these really good teams or like be ahead. And then it's just sort of like something falls off or, oh, somebody just didn't want to finish the game all the way, and that is always, or then you lose to the team that you're supposed to be, you know.
Okay, so I'm sort of ashamed to admit, I mean, I don't have the bracket entirely filled out, but I felt a little guilty about it, and now you guys are changing my mind because I had them going out in the first round.
Oh, in the first round?
Oh, Angela, no!
I'm sorry!
Wait, who are they playing? Remind me who they're playing.
South Dakota State?
Shit, that is bad.
Okay, I mean, I love the giant. I love a like giant dominant player, because also, you know, well, whatever. We can get into my life.
South Dakota is such a great story.
Audie Crooks enough this year, generally, and there's no dialogue about her going into this. But so it's Brooklyn Meyer. Is there like, she's not a center? I think she's like a power forward, but she's huge and she's really good. And I've sort of kind of become attached to the story of her and the idea of her. So, but now I'm like, no, I want to root for the team that needs to, that is like, has the talent, but emotionally and psychologically needs to push themselves. I'm like, that's my kind of story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But I am.
The South Dakota story is so good too.
I know. But see, this is what I mean. I want to know, but I always want to choose with my heart. Which is historically why I don't win, which is why I had to mention that I won my pool last year, because I don't think I've ever won.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever won, because I'm always going for, I'm like, but I like that.
Yes. I overthink it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think, you know, because of the psychology problems we mentioned. So yeah. I think mm-hmm. it's not a terrible idea to say that could they're going to win. I think they could also should win.
But then I have them. I definitely probably. Sorry, I would have them losing to TC.
I think they could also lose there too, but.
Because yeah. I love that idea.
Yeah.
TCU is one of my favorite, like, emotional stories from last season. I think a lot of us started following TCU last year, and it's great. They've done really well, and I'm really proud of them. I think overall this year that, you know, so this will be Rough and Tumble's fourth, March Madness. And the vibes have been completely different each season. And this one is completely, completely different than last year, in great part because we don't have the Paige and the Caitlin, Angel stuff happening anymore. And so there's a lot. I think we all focus so much on these, like, handful of incredible superstar women that we'd fallen in love with over this four-year period. And I'm not saying in total, I'm just saying a lot of people did not completely follow the people who are coming up behind them. And so I think this season has been a lot of us, and by us, I mean the collective we, learning who the teams are and really kind of learning them, like they were kind of learning who they were too, because they had lost some of the superstar vibes. And so I think it's been sort of this like entire season of figuring everything out. And so it's been really fun to see us all coming into March Madness with a lot of question marks. The fact that we are able to sit here and have this conversation about any of these possibilities outside of South Carolina and UConn is wild. That wouldn't have happened last year. And so the vibes are very different. It's going to be interesting.
Absolutely, yeah, right. It's fun to see new teams become powerhouses and also like challenge the old regimes, right? I think that's part of like
it's
why
great.
You want to root against UConn. You know, it's like even though we love AZ FUD, like I think it's like also nice to be like, well, okay, you've done your thing. That's
another thing about Texas that I like. I think that most of their it's not like there's this one standout star, but they're sophomores, like they're young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. And it's fun to think, you know, that people might stick around for a couple more years, you know, and develop. I think that is really fun to see that.
And Madison Booker is very fun to watch.
Yeah. So fun.
Oh, very
love her.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's a junior. I think she was a sophomore last year. Is that how that worked?
I think you're right. I think she's a junior.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I have a random other team that I'm kind of obsessed with, which is Ohio State. Jelani Cambridge. Cambridge sisters. There's a sister duo in the starting lineup, so I'm obsessed. And Jelani is like one of those amazing, just like puts up so many points. She has more than six games this season with more than 30 points. And she just has like a beautiful 3-point shot. And moves really amazingly, and then like she and her sister work together. I love a sister duo on the floor. Does anybody else have like a random one you're keeping your eye on just because you love it?
I mean, I think I've named mine. I do think I think there's a couple that Riley Dickinson is that one. That's one that I think we should all keep an eye on that I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to. Do I have that right? I'm looking at my notes.
I think, is it Farley?
Farley Dickinson, they're playing Iowa in the opener, right?
Yeah.
I have a love for the NC State teams because they're always good.
That's worth it.
But then they make the, like last year, they had a really great run and they're fun to watch. And I don't know. So I'm sort of like, I'm trying to see. They played Tennessee to start, even though they're ranked higher, and then potentially Michigan. But I don't know. I there's something about NC State where I feel like the pack, they could go. And so I'm like emotionally invested.
Isn't NC State the one with the wolf, the wolf Lady pack. Wolf and... Their mascots kill me every year. Oh my god. They're so awful. She wears a pinafore over a dress.
I'm Googling now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But I will say, like, I've been to the last few.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's the pinafore, right? Yes. Yeah. Oh, she literally wears a pinafore over. Mm-hmm. And they're misses. They're Mr. and Mrs. It's pretty funny. The band there is really great, though.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I feel like they have a good culture.
Yes.
They do. They do. I totally agree with you, Angela.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kristen.
Sorry, I'm sorry to agree. We went and saw NC State, the men play, and the culture of basketball is just so different from on the West Coast. It's just all-consuming.
Yeah.
It was really fun. I think my – Jeff and I also disagree about this, but I think that Michigan could do some damage, so I'm watching them. And I think probably any of the Big Ten teams could do some damage too.
Yeah, and they don't – I mean, yeah.
I mean,
it's an interesting part of the bracket
lost
over there
to UConn, but they only lost by 3 points.
Yes,
which, you know, that's the only thing too. It's like with a when you go out after one game, it's like what's often lost is like what happened, right? Like how close was the game, right? Yeah. Or like I always, you know, there's it moves, and that's part of the madness. Like everything moves so quickly, so we don't have a lot of time to dwell on. I mean, I think, sorry, I'm going to bring it back to Audie Crooks.
Because, please do. Please
thank you.
Let's talk about Audie for hours.
I love her so much. I just like, she's still here at 20, averaging 25 and a half points per game, close to 8 rebounds. And the thing is, I think they'll win their first round, and then they're going to have to play. Who do they have to play then? Then they would have to play UConn. So I think that
that's what's real.
I feel like nobody's talking about them. One, because nobody wants to talk about her, which I'd like to spend a minute talking about why. I've been hearing from you guys. But then also everyone's like, oh, yeah, well, they're going to lose in the second round anyway. So there's no
They might not, though. Nope. This is March Madness.
I know. Yeah. I know. This is what I'm saying. So that's why I'd like, I just feel like she doesn't get airtime, you know?
Yeah. Because I mean, she does in my feed because my entire feed is women's sports.
Yeah.
But I think in the rest of the normal world, it's not enough.
Yeah. She did just get a nice ESPN profile by Katie Barnes, which was really great. And yeah, and that was great.
The
so
the interview with her mom made me cry.
Yeah. Yes,
because she was really like, it's so hard to watch people say these things about your baby, right? And to like have her body be criticized, to have her like to see her like so misunderstood and maligned, that really kind of broke my heart.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that's why I'm always like, let's just talk about her because she's a totally dominant post player, and we just don't. I don't know. I think there's a whole thing too, like. I could connect this to Serena Williams and GLP-1s. Right? And like, what is a strong body and how my entire world and possibly a generation of people's world has been rocked about like, what is a strong female body and how we celebrate that and how we hold that up. And, you know, Serena Williams can do what she wants, but I feel like we've lost ground, right? Like when that, she owes us nothing, but like when that body goes away and it's like celebrated. And so to me, there's a link there about, you know, big, black, strong, powerful, beautiful bodies and people's inability to even look at them. Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I have a, yes, sorry. I that was a digression away from NCAA tournament, but to me, the things are not that far away.
No. I mean, and this is something we see with these college teams all the time, right? Is who becomes the big name often corresponds with, you know, like, okay, they have a really big NIL deal, right? They're going to also like be someone that companies want to sponsor. So they look a certain way, right? And we had the entire, Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese versus Paige Rekkers, right? Like, that was race, right? And looks and like where people are from. And you know, it kind of ends up this way, but that's not always who wins. You know, you have so many teams that, you know, have come from obscurity. I mean, like so many of Don Staley's teams, right? Like those might not have been all superstars. Although most of them are now, but you know, but that's what's interesting to me too, is Audie Crooks, you know, she's a junior. So maybe, you know, if she sticks around another year, Iowa State could have a great year next year. Cause I mean, things are going to change a lot. We do have a lot of people, like this draft class is going to be huge and amazing. Also, like everyone transfers schools now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's a season. If we have a draft. But yeah, so that's what's like, yeah, and we don't know what's gonna happen. I would love to see Audie Crooks in the WNBA, like, and see how that would change things. You know, we don't have a lot. I mean, that type of player has not traditionally like been super happy in the WNBA. And so like it could be interesting to see someone like her. She's also pretty individual, I'd say. How are you all gonna like move your schedules around in order to watch the games you want to watch? Jen, you're just gonna...
Mine's easy. I'm moving in. Yeah, I mean, we are, so the UW play, I think, at 11:30 on Friday. We don't normally open till noon on Friday, so we are opening at, I think, 11 or 11:15 to make sure everybody can come in and watch that game.
Nice.
And then, you know, what I think is pretty normal is people just, you know, bring their laptops and spend. There's something... There's a lot of people who take these days off. I mean, you would be amazed at how many people, this is a vacation day for them or a couple of vacation days. It's a big deal. And there's something really fun about doing this in the middle of the day. I don't know. It feels special. But you'll see a lot of laptops are refundable. So people, you know, quote unquote, WFH, right? Maybe with a hazy IPA in hand. We have a post, I think, getting ready to go out. That's pretty funny. It's like your checklist of what to bring for the game. And it includes like a sleeping bag and a duffel bag and your pajamas. And but I mean, for me, I don't get to enjoy the games the way I used to. So, you know, if you love sports, don't open a sports bar. Because you can't actually sit and like enjoy the game as much as just being a spectator. So. How about you all?
I work at a middle school and I supervise lunches. And so I put the games on during lunches.
That's awesome.
I can watch them. And the kids,
that's great.
School is really more, the kids are more soccer fans, but they will begrudgingly watch the basketball.
Because the TV's on. Force it on them, right?
Yeah. The projector is on. Yeah.
You're shaping young minds, the next generation of fans.
You are.
Yeah, it's important.
For good. Yeah.
I mean, I work for myself, so sadly I can watch whenever I want. but I'm in the middle of edits on my book, like the final push, so I can't. But what I'm going to do is one of the reasons why I've gotten more and more women's tournament is because I have two daughters. So like I'll watch games with them. So like we'll pick, you know, teams, and I'll let them look at the schedule and like we'll decide to pick a game. And I'll probably sneak a few games here and there during the day or just put it on in the background. But it's very fun to watch with them and they fill out brackets. I was just laughing to myself about how my youngest, I think the first time she filled out a bracket, she was like 5 or 6. And she picked Drake to win everything because she was really into listening to Drake. And that's what makes it so fun, right? Like you're just like filling this out and you're talking about the seeds and, but you know,
I guess we're rooting for Drake now.
Yeah, we're rooting for Drake.
So cool. That's the thing about brackets is like, you can fill out a bracket for any reason at all. And we get so many women coming in. They're like, I don't know all the stats. I've never filled one out. Can you help me? And we're like, I'm like, pick colors, pick mascots, pick a name you like. Because it doesn't matter. You don't need to know anything about it, but you will know about basketball when 2 weeks is over. Yeah. If you fill out a bracket, because you become invested by watching and tracking. We have this amazing story. It was our first year, and we had a literally it was the first couple of months, first employee I hired it before we even opened. And she called it everything sports ball. She was a theater kid, like not into sports at all. She was like, I don't get basketball. It looks like people just flailing on some hardwood floors, you know, which I think is how a lot of people feel genuinely. I don't think she's incorrect. If you don't know the game, it's not that fun to watch. And I was like, dude, you got to fill out a bracket. And she did. And we had participated in this one with NBC. And so we had literally tens of thousands of people nationally filling out brackets. She won the whole thing. She won the whole thing. Wow. And by the time those 2.5 weeks were over, she knew mascots, she knew players' names, she knew stats, she knew teams. She is now the most rabid Aces fan I know. Like, she is a massive WNBA fan. And that's in like a 2 to 3 year period. And that just is like, that goes to show you. I was reading this morning, there's a really cool stat. I think in 2019, there was like, I don't know, 340,000 people completed women's brackets. And last year, 5 million people completed brackets. This is across like Yahoo and ESPN or something like that, you know, multiple platforms. But regardless, and that's just stuff that's online and tracked. Huge difference. So I can't wait to see what the stats are this year. But fill out brackets. It's so much fun.
Yeah. I think it's just been amazing to see the growth of the tournament just in the last like 5 years, right? Actually being able to call it March Madness.
It changed everything.
How much that really did change things. And just be like having it be like put at the same level and like, okay, you can find both brackets right here. It used to be really hard. It used to be hard to find the women's bracket, right? To even fill it out. Or it wasn't as big. It wasn't as interesting. The top, you know, the one seeds were always, you know, gonna be the last four teams. And you know, now I think it's grown so much, and it's almost hard to keep track of who all the superstars are and all the teams that might be, you know, making an upset or any of that. So yeah, this has been really fun. It's great to hear all of the different perspectives too. Any last final thoughts, final predictions before we wrap up?
The best post high school basketball team in the city right now. We just throw some shade over there. Yeah. Go you done.
All right. Anybody else? What do you think? Angela, do you think Iowa State's gonna just upset UConn? Let's go. Audi
you
Crooks.
Know what? Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hot take, and I don't care about being wrong when it comes to sports. So I know, sure. Right? Yeah. I mean, it would be so fun. Broken,
but
it would be so fun. Yeah.
I would rather go down knowing that I backed Audi Crooks. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Yeah. So yeah.
There you go.
I'll do that publicly. I'll predict Iowa State to upset you.
You heard it here first.
Maggie, you got to bring all of our brackets on afterwards and see how they did.
All right. I will. Yeah. That sounds great. I will talk to all of you anytime you want. This is fantastic. We will be airing this as a special episode this week. I'd love to have you guys on after March Madness is done, after we're going through our withdrawals of so much college basketball that, then we got to figure out something else to do with our lives.
It's the sad time once the basketball ends.
It really is.
Even after that first like weekend when it's like back to back to back, we got all these games, and then you like get into kind of like Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and you're like, oh, there's only one game on today.
Yeah.
There's only two games. It gets a little sad.
All we have is baseball spring training. Boring.
Well, I'll go into NBA playoffs. So that's what awaits me on the other side of March Madness. So.
Well, you got to wait a little bit because that's not until the end of April.
Yeah, but it's still the, it's the end of the season.
There's so much.
And there's like play-in tournaments.
Women's hockey is so hot right now. NWSL just started this weekend. U.S. Women's National Team. I can tell you the softball's going. You need to expand into women's sports. There's lots.
It's true.
I love basketball so much.
Now I'm seeing. I mean, again, I think that. Fine, you know, I'll just pick Iowa State. I think that UConn's going to win, but for bracket purposes, yeah, I'll like write down Iowa State.
Yeah, why not? Fantastic.
You could have two brackets.
Well, yeah, I was thinking.
Have, like, your heart bracket and your mind bracket.
Yeah, the one where I'm trying to win money from the neighbors is the one where I'll
You'll put UConn on that.
And then my teaching bracket with my children will be Iowa State.
There you go.
Angela has UConn/Iowa State. Jen, who do you have for
South Carolina, baby? South Carolina. Don Staley every day. Never bet against Don Staley.
And Kristen?
I'm going UCLA.
Okay. And I've got Texas. So we're spreading. Oh,
we should come back after.
Yeah, we should. Spread those number one picks. Perfect. And if it's Iowa State, we will all hail Angela. All right. Thank you all so much for joining me here on The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM.